Today's gospel is found in the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 22, and that's found on page 833 in your pew Bible. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just what I always wanted. Now, this title of the sermon has a story that goes along with it. When my son Eric was 5 years old, we did a camp out. His birthday is in August. And we did a camp out, and he had one of his friends' families come, and my parents, some other people came. And he was opening his gifts. And with each gift that he opened, he got like a bow and arrow set, you know, like with a dart thing on it. And he opened it and he said, "Oh, it's just what I always wanted." And then he opened one of those goggles, you know, like for looking underwater. And he saw that and he goes, "Oh, it's just what I always wanted." And he said that with every gift. There were like 6 gifts. He said that with every gift, just what I always wanted. And he was just here. He went back to Hawaii today with his wife. But he said, somehow along the road, I kind of remember doing that. And I thought, you know, that's what I should say when I open gifts. It's just what I always wanted. He remembered his 5-year-old birthday. So the question for you is, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? There's a song that a guy by the name of the Donut Man wrote. His name is Bob Evans. And his song was just like this. The best present of all is Jesus. The best present of all is God's Son. The best present of all is the one God gave to me. The best present of all is from him. And his wish for you in the song is a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But most of all, I wish for you that Jesus would be near. A baby in a manger 2,000 years ago was the greatest gift that we will ever know. When you consider that question, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Of course not, in a way, and it's kind of a dumb question. Because Christmas isn't about getting and grabbing. It's about giving and receiving. Yet when you pause and really consider it, when we have Jesus, we have everything we've always wanted. Galatians really speaks to that. And it talks about a verse about our identity. It says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those under the law to be adopted as children. Adopted. I like to think of a story I heard of an adopted boy who was teased brutally for being adopted at the grade school playground. And he was upset about it, and finally, he came up with the perfect response to give these boys and girls who were teasing him for being adopted. He would say, "Well, my parents chose me, and your parents got stuck with you." Being adopted is a wonderful thing, and that's what this verse says. It talks about that we are not just any old people, but we're brought into the family. And that's through Jesus Christ that we're adopted, that we are given the Holy Spirit, and that we can call God Abba. That's like saying Daddy. It's a very familiar and warm way to greet our Heavenly Father, to call him our Heavenly Father, Abba. And it says, you're no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, also an heir through God. You're an heir through God. Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? In those words, believing in Jesus Christ, absolutely. It's a song, it's a verse and a message of identity. I love the passage that was read for our gospel today about two older people, Simeon and Anna. And it's fascinating to think about their life, that they were so in touch with God, so in touch with the Holy Spirit, that they were given direct insight into the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, it wasn't like Mary and Joseph were walking around and saying, "Hey, we have a new baby," and shepherds came and there were angels. They didn't say any of that. They were just doing their dutiful best to make the sacrifice that was required of them by the law to go to the temple and sacrifice two birds to celebrate the birth of their son. And Simeon, guided by the Holy Spirit, takes the baby in his arms. That's a little freaky, right? Someone else coming up and taking your baby? That wouldn't happen with one of my kids and their children. They're pretty protective of their children, even with people they kind of know. But he took the baby in his arms and he lifted it up and he says, because he knew that he would see the Messiah, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people Israel." Simeon got just what he always wanted. He got to see the Messiah. Anna, in the same way, a woman, they say, of great age, who's 84, a widow for most of her life. She'd been married 7 years and then spent her devoted time serving and praying in the temple, waiting for the moment. Now, I don't know how you can compute that, but if you think about 84 minus, say she got married at 20, make the math easy. So she was 20 when she got married, and she's 84. So that's 7, that's 60, what? 64, thank you, math people. 64 years of waiting. 64 years of waiting and fasting and praying. Most of us don't have that kind of a patience or stick-to-itiveness. Wow. And she then got what she always wanted. She got to see the Messiah, and she said that this would be the child that all were speaking about for the redemption of Jerusalem. Thinking about just what I always wanted. I love this last day of the year, the 31st. It doesn't often land on a Sunday, but here we are, the last day of 2023, because it's just normal to think about looking back over the past year and also looking ahead to what would be our preferred future in the new year, taking stock in what has happened to you, what you've been involved in, and what you would like to do in the future. And I think about one of the hymns that I would have chosen, but it's not in the green hymnal, is In the Bleak Midwinter. It's always been a favorite hymn of mine. But this year, especially this season, it just really spoke to me. And the lyric is, in the bleak midwinter. Oh, shoot. I thought I could just remember it, but I'm going to look it up. Because the author of the hymn, Christina Rossetti, actually died on the 28th of December. And so there was a day to remember her and talking about her exquisite poetry and how she was so in tune with Christ and with God in presenting something that was very different than what the hymns had been written about. It goes like this: in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Now, we don't see water like a stone, frozen lakes here in Arizona very often, if at all. But where we came from in Minnesota, that was winter. That described it perfectly. Everything was frozen and hard, and there was nothing that was soft about winter in Minnesota. That metaphor that she wrote really emphasizes the hardness of the environment in which Jesus was born. Jesus wasn't born into a place where everyone was waiting for the Messiah, and even those that were waiting didn't recognize that he was the one. It was hard. And I think it's also a great thing to think about for our own lives as we think about this last day of the year. Do I ever feel that life is too hard? Do you ever feel that life is too hard? Or your heart is too cold for Jesus to be born again in you? I'll ask that again. Do you ever feel that your life is too hard? Or that your heart is too cold for Jesus to be born again in you? That's what I think the last day of the year is thinking. It's like, yes, we look back. We didn't live as great as we wanted. Things happened. We weren't exemplary in every aspect of our life and being. But that's where Jesus comes in. We invite him in, and he guides us. He leads us. He comes into the present moment to lead us into the future. And so thinking about what we'd like to be moving ahead, one thing I always think about on the last day of the year is, what spiritual rhythms do I want to cultivate more in my life? What do I want to have more of? Maybe it's a regular rhythm of reading the Bible for you. Maybe it's, I want to read the Bible and pray more. Or I'm going to really focus on keeping the Sabbath day, because God commanded us that in one day you should rest. And that's a gift. And so many people just do stuff 7 days a week and they never take time to rest. But that's the rhythm that God calls us to. Maybe you want to think about your giving and generosity, and how has God given you income and money that you could freely share with others? That's something, and share with the church. That's something to consider as you look into the new year. To think about your serving and mission. I'm excited that next month we're going to spend the whole month speaking about mission opportunities and serving. It's a great way to express your faith, to engage your faith. So taking stock by looking back, what you've been to, and looking ahead. Rossetti also reminds me in her beautiful song or poem. In verse 2 it says, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. In the poem that she wrote, which this hymn is based off of, she speaks about the earthly dwelling place of Jesus, that he was an infant, that he had to suckle from his mother's breast, just like every baby. He was poor and meek. And what her hymn and her poem reminds us of is that Christmas that we just celebrated is a time to be grateful for the material blessings of our lives. Instead of just thinking, oh, I ate too much food and I did all these, oh, I had too much of this and now I got to go on a diet, you know, after the holiday. But to think without shame and give thanks for what you received, for the gifts that you received, to give thanks that those were given in love, the gifts you gave, to give thanks for the material blessings. I think that's also a good posture of thinking about this last year, looking back, is taking time to give thanks, consider, and remember. Thanks. I'm thankful for you all, this church that I get to serve. I'm thankful for our music ministries. I'm thankful for our Bible studies and our men's groups and women's groups, and thankful for our Stephen ministry. As we serve together, as we recognize that Jesus is sent by God to be the one who redeems us, who adopted us to be his kids, we can truly say, as my son Eric did on his 5th birthday, we've got just what I always wanted in Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the joy of being your children, called to be your sons and daughters. And as we take stock in this last day of 2023, we know that tomorrow is just another day, but it marks another year of life, a year of opportunity, a year of hope. And we pray, Jesus, that you would remind us of what we've been called to, what we have done, what we have failed to do, and also inspire us and instill in us a hope for the future, a preferred future of walking with you and being your sons and daughters into the next year. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.